Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition. New episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Maggie will be here shortly. She just finished up with True Hill Heat, so she said she'll be here very soon. But today, we got a lot to talk about. We have Money in the Bank and AAA, NXT, WWE's Worlds Collide. And we have Luis joining us here. Hey, look who's here. She made it. Usually I'd wait for you, but I accidentally hit the wrong button. So what else is new?
Really? What happened? Yeah. I just had to go to the bathroom.
I know. Like I was putting the intro video in, and okay. Like how we always do, and then like when I went to hit submit, like finish, I just hit the wrong button at the top, and it just started playing. I was like, ah, damn, here we go. But what else is new, right?
Sweetie, you're fine. I'm sorry did you have to do that. But I'm here. You look really good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm sorry, guys. But this usually is before the show. We check on each other before the show. But because, you know, we had to talk for 45 minutes about a show that we barely know anything about with SP3 and like.
Oh yeah. Well, we got Luis joining us in about 10 minutes, so that's
yes,
be fun.
I'm so glad that Luis is joining us. We love Luis here. So tell me, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Like I mentioned today, God. Well, that's pretty much the same. God decided to punish me by making me love tennis. It's never a good thing when you see that a tennis player has to retire from a match because of a certain injury. I didn't like the way that Alcaraz moved on to the Roland Garros final on Sunday, but it is what it is. I had a lot of love for Lorenzo, but hopefully he gets better. And then as we speak, I didn't get to see how the other semifinal is going. It's
Andre Agassi won. Oh,
okay, that's Sinner versus Djokovic. Okay, Sinner won the first set, and now the end of the second set is approaching. Yeah, I kind of felt like Sinner is gonna be Djokovic. It's
you're making up names right now, but okay.
Yeah, sure. I was expecting a Sinner versus Alcaraz final. It's right there. Okay. But yeah, I will never understand why I do not have a tennis podcast on this platform. I don't know a lot of wrestling fans that watch tennis.
A lot of hitting balls in the act, you know. People like hitting balls.
Green ones. Fluffy.
Yeah. Well, better than blue balls, I guess, right?
Ba-dum-ba-dum. It is better than blue balls, but that is the only thing I know. So, guys, hi. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're about to talk about Worlds Collide. We're about to talk about Money in the Bank. We will be sharing our thoughts on...
I got a fly that's bothering the hell out of me, so... If you see me, just kind of lose it for a second.
It's not us. It's the fly, yeah. Correct? Okay.
Yeah,
we are going to be talking about our truth after we finish, you know, our predictions. I'm so glad that Luis is going to be joining us in a bit. So hi, thank you for joining us. Please leave a like on the video. It's the most free way in which you can support us. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbook, the very channel that we are on. Comment live in the chat, share on social media, the video that you're watching right now. If you like to support us with your wallets and with your money, you have no idea how much Rob and I appreciate each and every one of you guys who support us. It means a ton. You can send a super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. You can also send a humper chat at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds because YouTube is that platform, you know? Please subscribe to Fightful Select. That is something that each and every person on Fightful, on a Fightful podcast, we will never stop bothering you guys about this. It is our bread and butter, the easiest $5.99 that you will ever spend in wrestling. A lot of news from the original source. Supporting original content creators will always be something that all of us here are greatly passionate about. So you can go ahead and show your support. And of course, Rob and I will always be nagging you to like the video.
And leave a comment.
Because it costs zero amount of money. And then after you're done, leave a comment below. It makes us aware of what you like and what you don't like. And we care about all of your guys' opinion. We adore the coexisting community that we've created here, our fans of coexisting. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rob, for inventing that. But yeah, did you guys see the awesome present that I got for my birthday this last week?
Yeah, all right. I did, but tell everybody what you got.
So this is really funny because my bar, and Soupy's been to my bar, we have this huge red drapes. We are the bar. And it was an incredibly significant part of our bar. It was the greatest David Lynch tribute that we can ever have. But the thing is that they weren't fireproof. And so we had to change them. And apparently there isn't much fireproof fabric from which you can choose. So they're black. And I go to work and I see the black drapes and I'm like, why? And so they explain to me why. And I'm like, okay, so that's a good reason. Of course, it's better to have fireproof drapes because it's really important that people not die in a fire, you know, in a bar. So, yes, thank you. But like the red drapes, man, like, what are you doing to me? This was 2 months after David Lynch passed away this year. We changed the drapes to 2 months after that. And I was so bummed out that, look, at the end of every shift, we need to go to that specific place in the bar, lock the door because we have another entrance, you know, that it's always, you know, that we also have to lock. So we need to lock the door and shut the drapes just so people know the bar is closed. And every time I go with my keys, I go to lock the door and shut the drapes, and I'm so taken by those fucking black drapes, and they're so ugly. They're not, but they're so ugly because they're not the red drapes, that I start cursing the black drapes, and I forget to lock the door. So I shut the drapes, but I don't lock the door, and that is a huge problem. And so two nights in a row, I just for straight up forget to lock the door, and then Wednesday comes, and Wednesday is my day off. And my boss, who takes the day shifts during the week, he says, he calls me and he says, is there a problem with your key? Or do you have a problem with the door? Why aren't you closing the door two nights in a row? And I'm like, fucking what? And I have no idea that I'm forgetting to close the door because I'm so taken with cursing the black drapes. And, you know, so my friends are incredibly aware of this huge problem that I had. So what they did is they took a picture of the bar. They put it in a frame and they put red drapes, you know, in front of it. This is exactly how the bar looks from the outside. Well, not anymore because the drapes are black. But this is the sweetest thing ever. And I have this and it was really good.
Nice. I think it's great. When you showed a picture of it, I was very happy for you. So
it's so good. It's so good. But Luis is here.
Yes, he is. And let's introduce him. Luis, what is up, my friend?
Hello, hello. How's everybody doing today?
Good, man. Thank you for joining us.
So glad that you were able to join us. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here. And I will be disappointing with the lack of knowledge on Twin Peaks, but we'll make it from here in this case.
It's fine. I have Twin Peaks knowledge for everyone on Fightful. I have all of the knowledge. That is incredibly, incredibly okay. Luis, I'm incredibly happy that you're here. I told Rob when we finished our show last week, I was like, listen, I'm grossly incompetent when it comes to AAA. So please let's have Luis on their show because you could also talk to us about Fightful Espanol.
Yes.
So yes, let's start with that Fightful Espanol that just recently kicked off, and Luis has been running it extremely well. How did that all start?
Well, it all started basically like it was an idea that had been pitched for like 2 years, mostly because there had been a lot of coverage that was going back and forth, specifically with, well, I want to say that it was with AAA getting slightly more exposure in North America, specifically with Kenny Omega jumping in, having matches over there. But yeah, it started basically as an idea that came from Sean because he thought he wanted to have a little bit more of a hold on the market or try to have access to that market as well. So that was something that had been, that was thrown as an idea, but it finally came through recently. It bought a perfect time, honestly, with CMLL catching more fire right now, possibly the best creative spot they've had in years. And with AAA, basically, I don't know, we're being bought by WWE. So it was the perfect time to kickstart it, basically.
Nice. Yeah, and you've been kicking ass, like, not only like with that, but social media, like in general for us. So I want to say thank you for that. But I always do a 1 to 10 scale. On a 1 to 10 scale, how excited are you for this Worlds Collide show?
I am nervous, but excited. I want to say eight, because I'm nervous in regards to, well, I've been very public. I have been much of a big fan of AAA's product recently. Specifically the weekly television and some of the events. But I'm also nervous in regards to how they're going to deal with that and how they're going to handle the creative process of, specifically with some of the storylines that have been developed in AAA that I don't know how they're going to handle it. Like, we're going to talk about it in the main event of the show, as well as the big angle that they've been running with AAA that apparently is being dropped. So it's going to be interesting to talk about regarding this.
Yeah.
SP3 informed me that in one of the six-man tag team matches, like, two people from AAA are teaming up while they're arch nemesis. They do not like each other, and then they're teaming up.
I'm guessing you're referring to Wagner and Psycho Clown?
Yes. Yes, that is what I'm referring to.
Yes.
So yeah, how is that going to work?
Well, that's more like a long-term thing. Well, right, more long-term thing because Psycho basically took the mask away from Dr. Wagner's dad, Dr. Wagner Jr. Mm-hmm. He took the mask off like years ago. And it's not really like something that has fully developed as a storyline. It's more like a little grudge that is there but has not fully been developed on television. Mostly because they focused on another priority as the
Okay.
As a top back, which is El Ojo. Good. We'll talk about that shortly as well, which I've got some issues on the storyline, but also don't know how it's going to play out. So we're going to talk about that as well, and also with that trios match as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's the thing. Like this show, like on a 1 to 10 scale for me, I'm looking at it from a probably like an 8. You know, because I like seeing people that I haven't really seen before or haven't seen much of, and this will be the first Vikingo match I've seen in quite a while, so I'm very excited for that because Vikingo is just amazing. But I mean, there's a lot of anticipation for this show. And I mean, it's something that I've been waiting for a while. And the fact that we're getting it with another PLE that evening, going later, Money in the Bank, it's going to be somewhat of a long day for
Chad
a lot
Gable,
of us.
Yes.
Yeah, for Chad Gable and Stephanie Vaquer, right? So, but I'm sure they're ready to go. I'm sure they're very
absolutely.
Excited.
I'm sure that Vikingo versus Chad Gable is probably a low-key match of the year. And I'm so excited about this match. And unlike, because I saw people, and including SP3, that they were bummed out that it's Chad Gable and not El Grande Americano. I prefer it to be Chad Gable. I don't want El Grande Americano at this show, man. As a whole, I don't want this to be a thing because it's kind of lame. I don't know, because I can't speak of behalf of of Spanish speakers, but I kind of find it a bit insulting. I don't like it.
I understand where you're coming from. But it's going to be pretty good. I think that crowd's going to be really, really like hot based on ticket sales are really well. So I think, and the good thing is they're going to be able to provide like the biggest thing for the talent is they're going to get a lot more people to see them for the first time. So that always excites them. So being like this first show, I have friends that I'm going to be watching the show with that have never watched AAA. And I told them like, I've watched it on and off since I've been into wrestling in like 1996, because where I lived in Florida, we actually got it, on TV and I was able to watch it. And then I got into tape trading really like heavily. And that was where I got to watch some of the, before they made it to Nitro, like your Juventud, Psychosis, stuff like that. So very excited just for people to see what AAA is going to offer. And I understand people's head like being hesitant. They're kind of worried about what will WWE do. Will they turn AAA into WWE Lite or something? I hope they don't. I hope they let AAA be AAA. But I do know that, like from a company standpoint, they have to make profit. So like, I do see some things maybe changing, but I hope for the most part, I hope the in-ring action stays the same. Do you think that will be the case, Luis?
I think for the most part, the presentation within AAA and in WWE is not going to change as much. Mostly because AAA has always been, compared to CMLL, they've always been leaning more into the sports-based match. Like, you rarely see any in CML. You rarely see any ring promos that last less than like what 3-4 minutes at most. Mm-hmm. In AAA, you see that a lot. Like most recently on last Saturday, you saw like a 15-minute promo between El Ojo with Alberto Patron and the rest of the faction that was basically promoting the events of the show. So that's something that is very commonplace in AAA, and I don't see that changing personally. And I do think that the in-ring itself, if anything, is probably going to be a little bit more modified, but I don't think it's going to be as much. So it's going to be a little bit similar to what NXT is currently. Of course, with a lot less Booker T, though. Oh.
Yeah. Have they announced who's going to be broadcasting? Because there were Dave Meltzer talked about that there were discussions about bringing Mike Tenay in, which, man, like when I heard that, like I got excited because I would love Mike Tenay to be there. Do I think it'll happen? I don't know. And I don't know where the rumors have gone since, like this morning. But I think it would be badass if they brought in Mike Tenay.
Yeah, I want either Mike Tenay or Big Joseph to be involved in the commentary for that show. Because I think those two guys are very good. They're probably the two best commentators WWE had. Even with Mike Tenay not being as active as he used to be. And Jeremy Borash as well. They have him narrating on LFG, and even then, he still proved that he's still very good. So I would like those three to be involved. I do believe that probably either Corey Graves or Booker T are probably going to get involved on the show at some point. JBL is not going to be on commentary. Like, that's the next thing I was going to address, because he is also part of faction with El Ojo, which is, I'll explain what that is. Basically, that is the authority stable going on in AAA, which is him, Nueva Generación Dinamita, Alberto El Patron, or Alberto Rio, or as some people call him, Alberto the Dipshit, depending on how you want to call him.
Call him that.
El Mesías, who's, and I will say the storyline has not been great. It has been a lot tedious, because a lot of it has been very House of Torture filled, where one distraction comes in, and then another one gets out, and then one distraction comes in, and then another one comes out, and then once another distraction comes in, either Conan or Dorian Roldan come in to neutralize everything. But if anything, the one highlight from that faction has been El Mesías, who's 50, but he's been very good on his role, so shout out to him.
Nice. Well, let's get started with our predictions, because... Like, I mean, a lot of this is just going to be, like, who we think is going to get a shot or who we think is going to win. So we will start with this match, the match for the NXT North American Championship. We have Rey Fénix, Laredo Kid, Javon Evans, and Ethan Page. Man, this match could steal the show for the entire, like, out of both shows. This could steal the shows. Because a lot of the WWE audience has not seen Laredo Kid, so I'm excited for that. So that's gonna be good. Luis, since you're the guest here, we'll start with you. Who you got winning this? Do you think Ethan Page retains?
I think Ethan Page is probably gonna have a very tough night, because he's gonna be doing a lot of acing on that show. I do think that probably the winner of that match is going to be Javon Evans. Probably because Ricky Saints, however you want to call him, I think he's going to get involved in that match. He's going to cost them the match. And then from there, they're probably going to have their blow off on Great American Bash. So I do believe that I see that happening. I think it's going to be Javon, mostly because they set that up on the triple threat, which he basically dove over Ricky and Ethan Page. So it's going to be Javon, although I wouldn't put it past them if they give it to Laredo, though, because he is currently the cruiserweight champion with AAA, even though he is tall, and I don't think he's a cruiserweight anymore, but he is still one of the best performers in AAA, and you do want to have a little bit of crossover between both NXT and AAA, so having him hold that title, even if it's for a short reign, might be a good shout, as well as possibly unify those two belts, which I could see happening, because WWE themselves don't do weight divisions anymore. Like, that's not something. If any, the world heavyweight title, let's be honest, that's more of an open weight title. They don't like it's heavyweight title. And what's underneath? Nothing. Just the United States title. So I do believe that they're probably going to consolidate those two belts.
Okay. So you have Javon Evans winning. Maggie, who you got? Yes.
Well, this is weird because, see, I've enjoyed watching Laredo Kid on back in TNA. I've enjoyed his work. and because it's like nothing that I will say for this show has anything to do with the AAA wrestlers whatsoever. It has to do with WWE because this is what I know. So in my eyes, because it's WWE, I thought that Laredo Kid is there to take the pin. I would have zero problem if Laredo Kid actually wins the match because, again, I've been enjoying Laredo Kid. And that is absolutely something to look forward to. But I think that, for me, they have to pair Penta and Phoenix sooner rather than later because that division, that tag division on Raw is lacking.
It's rough.
And yeah. It's rough, man. And they need fucking help there. And they'll have to make sense for everything because Phoenix is on SmackDown, Penta's on Raw. And if they just smoosh them together, they're going to make zero sense when it comes to the brand split because, LOL, the brand split. And I hope that this happens sooner rather than later, and that's why I think Phoenix is out of the question. I think Javon is destined to dethrone Oba Femi, but that can be next year at Stand and Deliver right before, during WrestleMania weekend. So I kind of thought that Ethan Page is retaining. But that is my, ridiculous way of thinking because that's me and that's WWE and I kind of feel like they're always disappointed us when it comes to shows like this and
okay
Rob, what do you think?
I'm gonna go with Laredo Kid. I think he gets the win because I think they want to show like the AAA fans that hey, like, you have great wrestlers, too, like, I'm not necessarily, like, saying that they're going to say, like, they're, like, better, but I think they have to go that route. I think they need to put the title on Laredo Kid. I think it would be good for AAA and WWE to do that, because you're going to have fans being excited that you have a guy that beat two WWE wrestlers. Laredo Kid, he's still on the TNA roster, so it's... Or three wrestlers, rather, not two. But Laredo Kid's he's technically AAA and TNA, is that correct? Luis? Or is he just TNA?
Yes, he's still AAA and TNA, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. So even, I think it would be good...
Even Tommy Dreamer was like... I think he mentioned it on Busted Open Radio. He even mentioned like, wait, is he still in contract with us, or does he also have a contract with AAA?
Yeah. Well, I'd hope you would hope that he would know, being like one of the main guys at TNA. Anyways, so I think Laredo Kid's going to get this victory. I really do. I think that's a way to go. But that's me. So we shall see. But yeah. We will move on to our next one here, and let's go with this one. Let's go with Legado del Fantasma. That's not right. Psycho Clown, Pecano, and Dr. Wagner Jr. This
is the match too. I was talking about.
Let's go with you, Maggie. Who you got winning?
Well, listen, I know that. Okay, so we have planned dissension, okay, in Legado. So they're like, there's a huge Worlds Collide show coming. We need to be on our best behavior. That's not what they said, but that's pretty much it. So, like, it's like, are they going to lose this match just to further the storyline, or are they winning? So, I'm going to... The thing is, Los Garza and Escobar, I love that group as a whole. I enjoyed everything they did with the D'Angelo family over at NXT. That war was epic, and it was really good. The good old days. It's just that I hate that a breakup storyline needs to happen in order for us to give a crap about that entire group. Amazing wrestlers, charismatic. They just need to be given a chance. I do actually think that they're taking the loss here, but Luis will explain us more about the other team. Because again, I'm grossly incompetent when it comes to, you know, stuff like this. And I just think that this is a way for them to further, you know, a storyline on SmackDown. I don't know, man. I don't know about that company. I don't know what they're doing. Luis, help me.
All right. I'm happy to explain. So I do see the reasoning that you have regarding Legado del Fantasma losing tomorrow, especially because of the ascension they built on TV. And it will make more sense considering that both that the team that they're facing against is basically two of AAA's top guys over the past 10 years, Pagano and Psycho Clown.
Okay.
Who have been regulars on television with AAA in years, and their new top signing in Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., who came off his very successful run in NOAH, and they made a whole big deal about it with conference president, press conference and everything last year. However, I do think that Legado del Fantasma are winning. Probably Pagano taking the fall because he's one of the top guys, but he does take jobs pretty regularly. And the reason why I think that Legado probably winning is because Los Garza are having a tag title match the week after in Monterrey, their hometown, against Nueva Generación Dinamita for the tag titles for AAA. And I am fairly certain they're going to win those tag title belts.
Really?
Basically, to further that storyline as well.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm going to go with... I think you made a good point there, so I'm gonna go with Legado. I think that's the way to go too. And but I know this match is gonna kick ass too, because
it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, this match is gonna be great. And again, this is gonna be a match that could easily steal the show. All four matches or all five matches on this card, I could see just being just outstanding. And I'm very excited for people to see this show, because they're going to go all out, you know, because they just are. I just have a feeling. So it's going to be good. Either way, it's going to be a great match. So, yeah, we will move on to our next match. Luis, did you see my note there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Ready? All right, let me pull that up here. Probably hope. There we go. So our next tag match, Stephanie Vaquer and Lola Vice taking on
Dallas and Chick Tormenta.
Alrighty, perfect. Because I told Luis in chat.
Both Rob and I will butcher those names, man.
Like I will butcher this name, and I just would prefer to have a professional do it, because
thank you.
We don't do many professional things on this show, so I thought I would try.
None.
But we'll let you start with this one, Luis. Who you got winning?
I think it's gonna be Lola and Stephanie. I think that's probably gonna be the easiest match to predict. That and possibly the main event. I do believe that Chick Tormenta is going to have a good showing. She is one of the better performers from AAA and from she's one of the bigger performers that she has. One of the better performers from AAA as well. And Dallas she's a good performer, but she's there mostly because of the connection that she has with Stephanie Vaquer. For those who don't know, they used to be tag partners in CMLL before Thaddeus left to go to AAA. Okay. So that is something that I do see why they pair them together, basically for the familiarity and to make sure that they have a good match. But yes, I do believe that Lola and Stephanie are probably going to win.
Yeah, so see, like, information like this is why we're happy to have Luis on this show, because thank you. Thank you for this wonderful piece of information. I had no idea that this happened over at CMLL, but listen, there's zero chance they're making Stephanie Vaquer lose this match, because it's as if they've strapped a rocket to her and sent her to the moon. And I'm so here for this. Like, she was in that company for like 2 minutes and they gave her two sets of titles. And I'm so happy. Stephanie is so good in the ring. She's such a ring general. And the crowd is incredibly behind her. I'm torn when it comes to Booker T on commentary when she does the scissor, you know, things and everything. The stupid thing is that the crowd caught up to it.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, so the crowd caught up and everyone in the crowd is going, no, stop it. Okay.
Perks to the people on Raw, though. We just went like, 1, 2, 3. They counted instead of doing that. So those at Raw, thank you. Don't do the ass, please. That's all I'm asking. Don't do those noises and those sound bites.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's a creepy Booker T style thing. I get the, you know, the chuckles and the laughs and everything. But like, let's not pretend that us doing things like that during women's matches is a good idea. Just let's You can go ahead and do it to, you know, a female wrestler that, you know, has other things to offer. But Stephanie is a fucking ring general, and she's probably one of the best wrestlers, male or female, on that roster. So let's just focus on the fact that she can beat up your dad, okay? So let's just do that. I am glad that we get to see Lola Vice on in this match too, because for the longest of times, I thought when Lola Vice was finished with Natty on Underground, she immediately turned into the wrestler that the women that they want to push beat. So she's incredibly believable in the ring. She used to do MMA and shit. Like, it's, I enjoy watching her in the ring. And I really wish that they could push her. But like, now with those new NXT women, female superstars, I don't know if they can, but like, a lot of them are getting called up. I don't know when her time comes, but, you know, holding the NXT Women's Championship, that is, not get called up. I do hope that they can do something wonderful with Lola Vice after that match. But yeah, absolutely Stephanie and Lola for the win in this match. Easiest prediction, apart from the main event. Exactly, like Louis said.
So, yeah.
What do you pick, Rob?
I'm going with Vakur and Lola, because I'm a Lola Vice fan. I'm not picking against her. Yeah, that's who I'm going with. And like, I've seen some people like say Lola Vice is going to turn heel on Stephanie, and I just don't see that. Like, maybe it happens. I just don't see it.
No point. There's no reason for that. Stephanie's on Raw.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm like, why do it? If they're doing that, that means Lola Vice needs to go up right away too, and I just don't think they're going that route. So, but we'll see. I'm excited for this match. There's not one match on this card that I'm not like, you know. So, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good match, and yeah, I'm gonna go with Lola and Stephanie.
Thank you.
We're pretty much all in agreement on that one. And then our next match is the main event. No, no, no. I got one more here. Where did that one go?
My main event. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to load it here. Probably hoping I load the right one. So, well, you know what? We'll just go ahead and, since I'm waiting for that, we'll just go ahead and do the main event.
Oh, okay.
Vikingo! Defending the AAA Mega Championship against Chadwick Gable.
Chadwick.
This match is going to kick all kinds of ass, but Vikingo retains.
I'm so excited that the majority of the WWE universe is going to experience Vikingo for the first time ever. And their jaws are going to drop, man. Never forget, we got to see Vikingo versus Kenny Omega. Never forget that. We saw that. Oh, my God. It was so good. So Chad Gable is probably one of the most underrated superstars that WWE have. I want to not acknowledge the existence of El Grande Americano. Please, no. Oops. Never. Just, I'm glad that we get to see this match. I hope there's no shenanigans, because I kind of know that AAA is famous for their, you know, interference and everything. And that's actually why, in my mind, that's why WWE purchased AAA. Because what do you mean that there's a company outside that does more interference than us? We're buy them out. And so they bought them just so they don't be, you know, second company to do that. This week's Raw happened the way it happened just so they can prepare you for AAA. So let's just, you know, move on. Amazing match. Hopefully, again, no interference. Just let those guys cook. I cannot wait for this match. Probably match of the year contended. So good. Vikingo will retain.
All right.
Luis, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Vikingo's going to win. I do believe that he's going to be... He had been dealing with some injury issues previously. Like, he was absent for a lot last year because he landed on his ankle after a backdrop in a house show. So that's something that happened. He's not quite the level that he used to be against Kenny, which almost no one is able to reach to that level. He was at a different form at the time. But he's still performing pretty well. Like, most notably his match in TNA when he was in Ultimate X, he had a good showing when he was facing alongside guys like Leon Slater and Sidney Akeem, the former Reggie. And I do believe that having a guy like Chad Gable being his opponent is going to help him a lot. Because Gable can eat and take a lot of stuff. So he's going to be benefited a lot. I'm nervous about the situation being with JBL involved. But I do think Vikingo is going to retain. But mostly because I don't know if JBL is going to be involved in that situation. Because the Gable, at least they haven't established if he's on that faction. Because he has not been teased. He has not been mentioned whatsoever other than, oh, look, Worlds Collide is coming up. But he has not been mentioned whatsoever in AAA television. So I am curious to see how that goes. But yes, I do believe Vikingo is winning and retaining the title.
Nice. By the way, I'm incredibly thankful to the wrestling gods that it's Vikingo and not Alberto. So let's just take a second and appreciate that. Because what the fuck?
So it sounds like we're all in agreement with Vikingo winning this.
Easiest pick. Easiest.
So tomorrow, Worlds Collide, taking place on WWE's YouTube channel. They're going to be at the Kia Forum in Los Angeles. The show starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. Otherwise, if you're in Antarctica, it's at 7 a.m. So there you go.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. So we have a large following in Antarctica. So just thought people should know that. We don't, but I just wanted to say that. But Luis, before we let you go, what match are you looking forward to the most at Money in the Bank?
Was this all the matches?
Yeah, I think. No, we got one more. I'm sorry. I forgot.
That's what I'm looking forward to as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We did have that last one that I had to wait to download.
Come on. How can you disrespect Iguana like that?
Yeah, that's my bad.
Iguana.
Yeah, so that's the last one. LWO's Dragon Lee, Cruz del Toro, Lince Dorado, taking on Aerostar, Octagon, and Mr. Iguana. This is a match you said that is your main event, so I have no choice but to let you start with this. What are you looking forward to the most in this one?
I'm looking forward to a lot of people are going to get very impressed by Mr. Iguana, which for those who don't know is probably the most prolific comedy wrestler in Mexico, if not the best. But mostly because he does it because he's also a very good in-ring technician. So a lot of people are going to get impressed by him. And I'm glad he brought in La Yesca, which for those who did watch NXT, you will notice he had a puppet iguana, to say the least. That's his pet called La Yesca. He's currently in a AAA storyline with Tokyo Bad Boys, which apparently they stole the iguana, but apparently that has been dropped all of a sudden. And honestly, for the better, because La Yesca rules so much. That whole act for Mr. Iguana is going to be awesome. Then a lot of people are going to be very impressed. Iguana being back in AAA is very interesting, because he had been freelancing a lot in the independent circuit. So him being brought back in AAA earlier this year, and now being involved on a WWE pay-per-view, is perfect timing for him, honestly. Like, fair enough, Aerostar. Good shout out to you. And that is awesome for him as well. And Octagon. Octagon Jr. We've seen him in TNA.
I believe that's the case. Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing that they announced on Tuesday. Joaquin.
Yeah, hope Joaquin recovers well. So.
Yeah, with speedy recovery for Joaquin. I was really looking forward to his performance tomorrow as well, but Nick Sardell is going to have a good showing as well. But Octagon is going to be an interesting one, because currently, well, in case you have not known, AAA and the original Octagon have had an issue with the trademark of that name for years, nearly a decade almost, because originally he owns the character. He claims that he owns the character, but he has been in a trademark dispute with both AAA and trademark dispute between both AAA and Octagon. So they're trying to resolve that situation. And Octagon Jr., despite the name, he's not the son of Octagon. He was a character he was a wrestler, the guy formerly known as Golden Magic in IWRG. He was a guy that was hired by AAA to play that character. Of course, there's been people that played that character before, most notably Kalisto or Samurai del Sol and Flamita, who's probably had the most infamous story. That's going to be something for a later time that I'll have to detail about and the situation there. But yeah, it's interesting that they brought Golden Magic in as Octagon Jr. and continued the character going forward. And he has been appearing in TNA with that same character as well. So I'm curious to see how that will develop going forward. As of the match itself, I think Lince and LWO are probably going to win, but they are going to have a very good showing, though. Especially because all those three people from AAA, and specifically, have something to prove, especially Iguana. So keep an eye on that.
Okay.
I saw that everyone online were incredibly looking forward to seeing Mr. Iguana in action, and that just from them looking at them in the audience from when they showed him on NXT. And I'm incredibly looking forward to seeing what that is. Again, immensely uneducated when it comes to AAA. And even I'm looking forward to this because they're so hyped behind Mr. Iguana. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, he's awesome. Everyone's going to like him. He's probably going to have the most rave reviews of everyone on the show.
Nice.
I'm so looking forward to that. I hope they win. Do you pick who wins the match? What do you think? Who wins it?
I think it's going to be LWO and Lince.
LW,
especially with,
okay.
Lin Sarada returning to WWE television, even though he lost in Evolve, but he didn't need the pin there, so it's all good. But yeah, I do believe Lince and LW are going to win, especially with the performance that Dragon Lee put in on Tuesday as well.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, before we let you go, like I asked earlier, what match are you looking forward to the most at Money in the Bank?
Honestly, probably the women's ladder match.
I'm
curious about who's going to win, because I can see them putting it almost immediately on Stephanie and saying she's the guy to keep an eye on and she's going to be the new ace of the company, because she is female AJ Styles, basically, for the women's division. And although I can see Roxanne and Naomi winning, especially Naomi with everything that they have teased and basically how manic her character has been, and it's been some of the best work of her career. So I do believe the women's match is going to be my match I'm looking forward to the most. And I am, don't want to say that I'm not excited for the men's match, for the tag match in the main event. Yeah. I'm more nervous.
The tag match can suck it, man. That's the stupidest shit I've ever seen. Like, what the fuck am I watching?
It's going to be like 40 minutes as well.
Yeah.
No! If this ends up being 40 minutes of this torture, you will be answering to me, Luis.
Luis, tell me. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just telling you what to expect from that match.
No, don't put that out into the universe. We adore you, but do not do that to us.
Sorry.
Luis, tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Luis Pulido and on Instagram at Luis Pulido as well. And is it my username on Blue Sky as well? Yes, it's on Blue Sky at Luis Pulido as well. And also follow us on Fightful Español on Twitter, as well as Fightful_Espanol on Instagram and Fightful Espanol on Facebook. We are doing a lot of stuff. We're trying to grow those channels as much as possible. And this week's going to be awesome. So, yeah, join us. We'll be doing a lot of stuff as well.
Well, man, we appreciate you so much for stopping by. And we hope you enjoy the shows. And like normal, I'm sure a lot of people will see you in the chat.
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be around, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you for educating us, because we're immensely stupid when it comes to stuff like that. Thank you, sweetie, so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Hope you all have a good show and have a good day as well.
All right, man. See ya. I'm just going to go ahead and answer this. Why aren't they bringing the black custom ropes for every PLE? Why is no one talking about it? Dirt sheet fans, everyone, please tell Triple H. I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you.
Well,
I don't think WWE has a show that uses white anything. Like, it's mostly black ropes, red ropes, and blue ropes. Even NXT, yeah. I think they only have, do they have black ropes or white ropes?
I honestly don't really pay attention to the ropes.
NXT has white ropes.
Do they?
Yeah, I think they do.
See, like, I couldn't tell you. Like, I honestly don't pay attention to the ropes much. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't pay attention to them.
I'm that person that absolutely pays no attention to the color of the ropes.
Yeah, they do use white ropes.
See?
Yeah.
Come on, Pratt. All right, I'm going to head out. So
yeah.
Thank you very much, guys. Hope you all have a good day.
All right, man. We'll see ya. Raw uses white ropes.
Who uses white ropes?
Raw.
Raw uses white ropes.
Yeah.
Rob, do you
want to misread this?
About what?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I just, it's my first day. Anyways.
He's asking why they're not bringing back custom ring ropes for premium live events.
I honestly don't know.
And Pratik, sweetie, you did ask this last week, but again, this is a question mostly for Sean, because like he can learn about stuff like that. He can, you know, ask questions for the right people. I don't think Rob and I can ask Triple H because, you know, for obvious reasons.
He does watch.
He does watch. Yes, thank
Triple
you.
Triple H, if you're around, man, just leave a comment in the chat. We'd appreciate it. And
we appreciate. Yes, send the super chat or humper chat.
And that would be nice, but if you don't use that money to re-sign R-Truth, because we're going to talk about R-Truth before we move into Money in the Bank, I think.
Yes. Hit the music, Rob.
You got it. Give me one second, because I forgot that was our Cooper effect.
Of course.
Yes, today our Cooper effect is on none other than Ron, the Truth Killings, aka R-Truth. The reason he's our Cooper effect is because of how he makes how people feel about him and the joy that he brings to so many people. The fact that WWE is not re-signing him is very disappointing. Very disappointing, especially with all the money they're bringing in. Now, I understand that TKO has the parent company, Endeavor, and Endeavor is technically in debt. So I understand that there's cost cutting and stuff like that. But my opinion is you don't get rid of somebody that brings eyes out and stuff like that. I mean, his merchandise has been selling well recently. I just don't understand it. I mean,
his shirt was a top seller last week.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I will say is, I think, and I don't want to misquote, so I when you start talking, I'll go double check. But I assume this is me, and I hate assuming when it comes to this stuff. I think it must be like the contract must be like up there, like for them not to do it, because it just doesn't make any sense. Because somebody that's been on TV almost every week and gets attention on them, put on them, I just don't like. This is the only thing that I can think of that would even remotely make any sense. It's the fact that if he makes way more than they want to pay him, that's the only thing that can make sense. Like, that's the only thing. Like, but again, I don't know if they even went to him to renegotiate a new contract. So that part where I'm kind of like confused by it, you know, like, why don't you, like, if this is where your contract is and they're letting it run out, if they think it's too high, why not try to negotiate a new one, like, obviously. So I don't understand like what they're doing, but yeah, I'll let you the biggest reason again why he's our Cooper effect is just the how much he's made us laugh over the years.
Absolutely.
Whether it's like the Brock Lesnar Paul Heyman promo where he tells Paul Heyman you're going over the ropes. Stuff like that, and then the Money in the Bank or at the Royal Rumble, he goes and grabs the ladder, gets in the middle of the ring, and goes up, and nothing better.
Everyone just the constant tags with people that he used to tag with, but now he's actually fighting against, you know, the whole Awesome Truth thing, everything that he did with the Judgment Day in recent history. It's one of the best things ever. You know, when the Bloodline felt stale, they brought in Sammy. And when the Judgment Day felt stale, they brought in R-Truth. It is... I don't know. This is the better way to handle things like this. Is to let contracts expire rather than release people before their contract expires. This is the thing that I prefer because I understand when you're in debt, you try to, you know, cut on expenses. I understand that. I really do, believe me. But it's our truth. Again, he had the top-selling T-shirt last week. Okay. And
oh, sorry, go ahead.
And, like, it's someone that is so widely beloved backstage that people were stunned by that release. I genuinely thought that his social media got hacked. You know, when he tweeted out that post, and I'm like, he got hacked. That's no way that's happening. I mean, they're not letting R-Truth go.
Yeah.
An absolute treasure, but like, I both understand and hate it at the same time.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I understand, and I had a feeling like with the contract thing, because that was the thing. Like, I'm like, they can't come to terms on a contract, or like the lowering it. Like, there's something there. I mean, they're not just gonna say no. We don't want to resign you. Like, I knew that there had to be something there, and I mean, it makes sense that he was off a contract, but it wasn't where he wanted to be. So, here we go. I mean, it makes sense for him, because like we say every week, we're for the wrestler. So if he doesn't think he's getting his value, I want R-Truth to do what's best for him and his family. There's a part of me that wishes that they would have just re-signed him, like, depending on the amount. I mean, if he was looking for a crazy amount, which I doubt he was, then I understand WWE's position. If it was not much more, I look at it from the aspect of how much money he's made the company when it comes to merchandise. Because, yes, like, I see it in chat, like, yeah, they are in debt, you know. But you also look at the record gates that they're doing. You also look at the merchandise sales they're doing with Fanatics. I mean, it does. I get it both ways. I completely understand it. And I look at it in a way too, and this is my perspective, it does cost money to make money.
Exactly.
I think in the long run, it would be a wise investment to keep him around for the comedy aspect. But that's me. That's my opinion. I just appreciate everything he's done for the WWE and wrestling in general, whether he's TNA, NWA. He's been around for a long time. You know, he does not look like he's 50. I think they said 53. 53, is that his age? 53,
yes.
He does not even look close to 53 to me. No. And the way he moves in the ring, I don't think he's 53. I understand why it sucks.
Absolutely.
Well, according to, you know what? Never mind. I'm not gonna get into that. Go ahead, Maggie. What do you got?
We're gonna get into Money in the Bank now.
All right. Yes.
Are you excited about Money in the Bank?
Which one?
Are you excited about Money in the Bank?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Money in the Bank's always one of my favorite shows.
Okay, so this is kind of something that I discussed with SP3 right before our show. Money in the Bank is always a pay-per-view that I'm looking forward to, because Money in the Bank matches always deliver. They're entertaining. The wrestlers are good, of course. And I kind of feel like in recent memory, I hated just only one Money in the Bank match, and that is the first ever women's Money in the Bank match, and that is solely because of the end result of the match and that they made Ellsworth be the first ever person to grab the women's Money in the Bank and throw it into Carmelo's hands. But this is because of the outcome. The match itself was good. But the thing that happens afterwards is they treat the Money in the Bank winners, especially the women, like people who can get constantly pinned and lose matches all the time because they kind of feel like they're protected because of that Money in the Bank briefcase. And all of a sudden, if they cash in successfully, all of a sudden we need to view them as a plausible champion. And, you know,
yeah,
a legitimate champion, you know. Of course, it's not always the case. I want to underline that. It's not always the case, but it has that dark shadow over it. And I hope that they get out of this mentality. But we're going to discuss, you know, the Money in the Bank matches in depth.
Yeah.
Do you want us... how do you want us to start with which one?
Well, I just wanted to look something up and... We will get started here. Instead, I'm not just gonna. Let's just get started with this one. Let's start with the main event. Logan Paul.
Oh my God! Why?
Because we want to get it out of the way. Logan Paul, John Cena taking on Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes.
Listen, I do not know why we're getting this match. I hate this match so much. I don't know why we're getting it. I have been extremely exhausted keeping up with Cena's heel turn. Incredibly exhausted. It's nothing. Still nothing makes sense. Whatsoever. I don't know what was the reason John Cena turned heel. We don't know what his collaboration with The Rock is. It's so incredibly uninspired and dull. And it's just generic, man. I do not get it. It's one thing after another. He hates on the fans. He does a fucking hate speech. Cody comes out, Crossroads, and Cena lays in the middle of the ring. It is so weird, man. I do not get it. Logan Paul, I feel like I've made my point across when it comes to Logan Paul. I do not find the guy entertaining whatsoever. He's one of the most athletic people I've seen in the ring, and I will never take that away from him. But the guy, that does not make you a great wrestler. It just does not. I haven't been a fan of Cody ever since he won the title at last year's WrestleMania. His title run, apart from the AJ Styles matches, was, again, a bit dull. Like, his chase towards the top was a thing of beauty, and I loved it, and I loved the main event of WrestleMania both nights. It was so good. But it all went downhill from there after, you know, the AJ Styles matches. I just don't know, man. That is, I know that they're making this match for the clicks and for the views because it's going to make a lot of social media numbers, and I get that. But I feel like Cody Rhodes will pin Logan Paul in this match because John Cena will abandon Logan Paul. This is how I see it, because on last week's SmackDown, Cena wanted to leave the ring while Logan Paul wanted them to remain in the ring and fight them. So We had disagreements right out of the gate. So this is what I predict will happen. Cena abandons Logan Paul and Cody Rhodes beats pins Logan's ass. That's what I think. But incredibly, incredibly not looking forward to this match. I do not care, man. How are you feeling about this match?
I'm ready for it to be over, you know, because I think I'm like you. The John Cena heel turn was not even close to what we wanted it to be. I mean, we're 3 months into it almost, right? And it's just been boring. Very boring. John Cena. Look, I'm a John Cena guy. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but he's been boring, you know? Like, I'm like, the promos have not been good, in my opinion. Again, this is my opinion. But, I'm like, let's just get this over with, you know? I hope they prove us wrong more than anything. I really do. I hope they prove us wrong, and I hope it's a great main event.
I'm talking
about the match. What? Sorry, go ahead.
No, like, John Cena cannot... Listen, it's like... I feel like John Cena nowadays is made for tag team matches because of this reason. Yeah. And I do not mind this whatsoever. But we still have... We had that great heel turn, man. It was so good. Everyone was talking about it. It was such a shock. It was done flawlessly. It was so good. And then nothing else happened.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how they took the biggest thing in wrestling history right now, from this generation of wrestling history, and turned it into the dullest thing in the world, man. I do not get it. It's so, again, the word is uninspired. It's dull and it's lazy. This is exactly everything that describes John Cena's run. I don't know how they make this match watchable, but as a whole, zero build. I don't. Oh, but something happened last week. I don't care. No, nothing happened last week, and nothing happened at Saturday Night's main event. No, they flat out had Cody Rhodes return in Saturday Night main event and say on the microphone, "LOL tag team match, suck a bag of dicks, man. What the fuck was that? Like that is not how we know."
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just hate this match so much. I have to get up so early in the morning to watch this and then go to work. Why? No.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. But yeah, I think... I think Cody and Jay get this win. But that's okay. That. Anyways, we will move on to our next one. We have women's Money in the Bank match with Naomi, Rhea Ripley, Julia, Roxanne, Alexa Bliss, and Stephanie Bacoud. Maggie, this match I'm very, very excited for. You can't tell by my voice right now because it's kind of like hoarse, but this match, I think, is going to be really damn good. So my question to you is, who do you got and why?
I feel like this is this is probably recency biased, but I'm like this every year. I feel like this is one of the most unpredictable women's Money in the Bank matches. Sorry for the redundancy. I kind of feel like they cannot help themselves but to do a Mummy in the Bank thing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
I feel like they cannot help themselves. But in my eyes, Naomi has to be the true winner of this match. And I can see a path for her. But the thing is, I can see Jay costing Naomi the briefcase. I can say the absolutely same for Roxanne Perez, because I was on this very show when I told Robert that Roxanne should win this year's Money in the Bank when we weren't even talking about Money in the Bank. You know, this will be a wonderful way for her to taunt Liv Morgan in the Judgment Day. A great way to do that. But I kind of, and then in comes Stephanie Vaquer. And I know that probably what WWE is trying to do is absolutely push her to the moon. And I will never say no to that because I love the woman. I think I want to go with my brain here because my heart says Naomi, but my brain says Roxanne Perez. Okay. I'm incredibly torn here. The thing I actually want to happen is lights go out and then they go right up and the White Six kidnap Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I'm honestly thinking of that is a good possibility.
Yeah, just pair the people. Like, I will always want Judgment Day versus Wyatt Six. This is something I will always root for. I want to see that match. But yes, I'm going to go with Roxanne Perez. I'm probably wrong, but Roxanne. What do you got?
Okay. You know, I wasn't feeling it until just recently, but I think there's a lot of momentum for Naomi to win this. And I think it's time to let her try to get a title again. I am curious, though. There's a big part of me that could see Jade Cargill costing Naomi the money in the brief, the briefcase. I could see, I could also see Liv Morgan costing Roxanne the briefcase, you know? So it's...
Well, they still haven't had that altercation between each other. Like, Liv Morgan has told Roxanne if she wants to help, she just needs to stay out of her way and everything. Mm-hmm. I get it, but like, a lot of stuff has to happen for her to get physical with Roxanne. I hope, because that's just the logic in me speaking.
Yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, man, this one's probably the hardest for me to choose. I'm going to go with my gut and just go with Naomi. There's so many people I'd be fine with winning in this match, because I like them all. I like Roxanne. I like Stephanie Vakur. I like Julia, Rhea. You know, anyone who wins this, I'm going to pretty much be okay with. I really, really am. So I think it's going to be what they call good shit, pal. I really do. Yeah. I'm excited for this match. That I know. And I am wondering which way they go. So. Let's move on to the men's Money in the Bank match. We got LA Knight, as I like to call him, La Knight, Solo Sikoa, Penta, Seth Rollins, Andrade, and El Grande Americano. Maggie, I know a lot of people aren't talking about this match from a standpoint of as much as they are talking about the women's match, but I still think this is going to kick all kinds of ass too. So, with that said, who you got?
I see a lot of interferences in this match. I actually think that there's no way Seth Rollins is winning the match. I know a lot of people are talking about Seth Rollins being the winner here, but I think that he has a lot of enemies that will desperately try their best to prevent that from happening. I am mad at CM Punk because he attacked Seth Rollins after Seth Rollins qualified for the Money in the Bank match. And I was like, where the fuck were you before that? It's a three-way. It's a no disqualification thing. So you can cost Seth Rollins the match. Why are you pretending to be mad that Seth Rollins is a part of this match when you yourself did absolutely buck nothing to prevent Seth Rollins to be in this match? I'm kind of pissed off about that. So I kind of see Punk costing Seth. The funny thing is, I kind of think that LA Knight is winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. Either him or El Grande Americano. because
okay,
yeah, there's no way Solsico was winning. Solsico has his own beef, JC Mateo, and you know, and Jacob and everything. No, I find Solsico incredibly entertaining. I know a lot of people don't like Solsico, but he's really funny. The guy's really funny, and like he's for me, he's incredibly entertaining. But I think that they're putting the briefcase on LA Knight, and I don't think that he's cashing in successfully eventually. But that's who I'm going with. The sad thing is, no one, and that includes, I'm sorry, and that includes me, is talking about Andrade. And I kind of feel like that's really sad. The only reason Penta is in this match, which is also sad, because again, that's not me saying it. I feel like Penta's in this match because they desperately want us to see a Mexican destroyer on a ladder between the ropes and another ladder. That's probably why he's here for. And of course, everyone that was an old school BTE fan knows that he was referred to by Kenny Omega as that hardcore guy from TNA. So Penta could go in matches like that, man. I still think LA Knight's winning this briefcase. I know. Do not attack me, everyone in the chat. That's what I'm going with. Oh, I saw the fly.
Yeah.
It went right in front of the camera.
Yeah, it's been fun. So I'm a big fan of it. Let's see here. I'm going to go with Americano. Why not? Go with it.
That's my second pick, actually. That's my Chad second Gable. Pick. And I'm going to hate that.
Yeah. Chad Gable. He gets the victory. This match is going to be pretty good. I see a couple of people in here. Solo Sikoa. Bren says most logical choice is Seth. Scott says I could see El Grande winning and cashing in on Vikingo at Triple Mania. That I do not see happening.
A lot of people are talking about this, by the way.
I don't see that happening at all. That's just me. Scott says they're strapping a rocket to Stephanie Vakura.
Absolutely.
Well, Soupy, like, this is a good one. Soupy says, my pick is Rhea. I still think she needs that first win over Io, and having the advantage would help. So I do like that. I saw another one in chat that I like. Oh, Clown. He has a good one. If Rhea wins, she's going to pull an RVD and just call her shot to headline Evolution 2. That's a good one. Pyro Driver says, Roxy. Scott says, I like Naomi to win for the women's. Universal says, Alexa Bliss is winning. Bren says, I think Stephanie wins, but could honestly be a toss-up. That's the thing about the women's
exactly.
one.
Exactly. The women's Money in the Bank match is absolutely up in the air when it comes to a winner.
Yeah. So, yeah, that one, the card looks... I mean, both ladder matches are going to kick all kinds of ass, I have a feeling, you know? I mean, that's not me really going out on a whim here, but... I'm excited for those matches, and, like, again, the main event... I have hope that it's good, but I'm not holding my breath by any means.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, we'll move on to our last match, and that is none other than the women's intercontinental title match between Miss Becky Lynch and Lyra Valkyria. I think you're going with Becky based on that.
Listen, I rarely not pick Becky, my sweet queen. Listen, this this is a hard thing to actually predict, because a lot of people are bringing up Bailey. The thing is, I kind of want Becky and Lyra to be a trilogy. And the only way that that can happen is for Becky to win the title here. Lyra raises her hand. Because that's the stipulation. If Becky wins the match, Lyra needs to raise her hand. And then they have the third match and the third and final match at SummerSlam. This is what I would like to happen. I don't know where Bailey fits into all of this. I have no idea. She does have to eventually, you know, get involved. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I love the way that Lyra has been built up via Becky. And I don't want this to end, because I don't know if they know what to do with Lyra if it's not Becky. And that's why I still need that third match to happen. What do you think?
Becky Lynch, just like Scott George says, Becky just on the stipulations alone, it just makes more sense to go that route. And yeah, they have a trilogy. Cool. I could see that trilogy being at Crown Jewel, unfortunately. I mean, I'm just saying it could be. It wouldn't surprise me, because that's the next PLE after Money in the Bank.
I understand.
So, but
and Becky has been proven to be a draw when it comes to Saudi Arabia shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Becky gets this match. I think she wins. So that's where my head's at with this.
Okay.
So anything else you want to talk about before we call it a show?
Mariah May.
Oh yeah. I forgot about her. Mariah May made her debut. That was pretty surprising. I would say I was not expecting her.
I did not see that happening, like, right out of the gate.
Sorry.
Here I am.
Sorry, it's Night of Champions. Thank you. Night of Champions, not Crown Jewel.
That's okay. Night of Champions.
They haven't said yet. I've heard Mariah Glamour. Mariah Monroe. I like Mariah Monroe the most.
Mariah Monroe is good. Mariah Monroe is really, really good.
Yes, I am still holding out for July. Yeah, Delilah July. That's what I'm holding out for.
Sally September.
Yeah, Sally September. Sally September. That sounds like a porn name, doesn't it? Sally September.
Does it? What kind of twisted porn is this?
I'm just saying, it just sounds like it.
Okay.
Like, they make some weird names.
So, she got the Ricky Saints debut. They didn't mention her name whatsoever, yet everyone knew who she was, and that's so cool, man. I'm so proud of Mariah. She's so good. I'm incredibly proud of the way she handled her contract and everything. She has a wonderful team that takes care of her. I'm glad that she did that. She has been a fan of WWE her entire career, and even before that. So
yeah, the girlhood dream comes true.
Yes, kudos to her. Dream come true. I'm so glad. Like Rob and I have stated on numerous occasions, we always support the wrestler, whatever the wrestler decides to do and whatever the wrestler decides to go. That's where their place is. Not to a certain company. That's fine. We support the wrestlers. I'm anxious to see what they do with Mariah. I don't know if she stays in NXT for quite some time, or just pass by, hold the championship for some time, then drop it into a multi-woman match just so she doesn't get pinned, and then gets called up to the main roster. We have no idea, because her entire run in AEW was planned from the beginning to the end. And it was a thing of beauty, and I adored every second of it. So they have big shoes to fill when it comes to storyline and her time with the company.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how they go with her, because I think I could see her being, you know, like they took that title off Stephanie Vakur, and I could see JC Jane being that transitional champ. I could see the title going right to Mariah May at Evolution.
Evolution is a wonderful way for her to be on a pay-per-view.
Yep.
I'm not gonna lie.
And then they can go see Beyonce afterwards to celebrate.
Yeah, sure.
Man, I've been through Atlanta traffic. It sucks ass. So the fact that they're doing this in Atlanta, where just traffic is absolutely brutal, you have these shows, the WWE shows, you got Beyonce and the All-Star, Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend, which they have all kinds of things going on. They have like the Futures game. They have like a fan convention. It's going to be nuts down there.
It's going to be fucking nuts, man.
All my best to Steven Jensen for that. But he will likely stay home.
Because he's smart. He may be a Cody Rhodes fan, but he's smart.
This is a good point. I think they need to do an Evolution, though. That's what I would do.
Yeah, you absolutely... You cannot have Mariah in your possession and do not pull her... And not pull her on Evolution. That absolutely needs to happen.
Yep.
Before we wrap up the show, let me just bitch about something real quick. A four-hour AEW episode for this week. And we're about to have that same thing next week. And I hope to God Tony Khan listens to all the people that found that incredibly infuriating 4 hours. I will not sit here and pretend that I know if this was his idea or WBDI's idea.
I don't know.
I'm not that person. But that was a chore. If this was a let alone Dynamite, the first 2 hours of Dynamite, 8.5, man. That was so good. An amazing episode of Dynamite. Then the credits rolled. We have a wonderful match between Will Ospreay and Leo Rush. And then everything went downhill from there. It was so hard, man. Like, we had a two-hour Dynamite and then two consecutive hours of Rampage. We had an awesome Dynamite, and then right out of the gate, the middest of mid episodes of Collision, we had a wonderful episode of Dynamite, and then we had a 2 hour buy-in. This is exactly what it was. Not to mention the fact that people were annoyed at the thing that they had to change streams. And because they had to change streams, they missed the entire altercation between Kenny Omega and Okada.
Yeah. What have those guys ever done in a ring together, though? You know?
Yeah. So,
okay, people, that was sarcasm, just in case you can't tell.
Just in case, yeah. We are officially getting Will Ospreay versus Kazuchika Okada for winner takes all at All In.
You meant Kenny Omega.
What did I?
Osprey. Did I
say? Oh, no. Kenny Omega. Jesus Christ. No. So I messaged Rob that we all knew that we were getting this match. It was never made official. But I still cried when I saw the graphic. It's one of these things. Omega versus Okada is wrestling.
You know when they announced this match, this is how I felt.
Now's not the time to kiss.
That's okay. My new favorite one.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah.
So yeah, that was one of the awesome things on the show. The fact that we had 13 minutes of women on the show. For a total of 4 hours, we got 13 minutes of women's exposure. And please don't be the one to say that, oh, we had a lot of women shown at the show. No, don't be that person. A travesty, man. A travesty. Just show more women and just invest in women's wrestling. I was entertained by Mercedes Moné eating steak ringside. That was entertaining. But to think that she was supposed to have headgear and do commentary while she was eating actually pisses me off. Because I had to listen to someone chewing a raw ass steak, because that was well done.
That did look,
done.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so as a whole, Dynamite was excellent, but the collision that followed afterwards was so dull, man. It was so dull. We had Don Callis segments in and out. Do not like that. Do not like that.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully it's going to be a better four-hour block next week, because Jesus Christ. If this was evenly spread around the show, this would have been incredibly, incredibly different.
Yeah. Before we end the show, kudos to Dalton Castle, who's back. So glad to see him back. He's been gone for a while, so glad he recovered
right
from
out
his
of
injury.
The UFO.
Mother effing fly, come on. But yeah, Maggie, tell everybody where they can find you.
Guys, please go on Twitter or X or whatever the drama queen boys that are fighting on Twitter want to call it right now. That's, you know, right in the middle of Pride Month, this is the gayest thing I've ever seen. You know, Elon Musk and Trump having an argument. This is Jesus Christ. So you can follow me there at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky at Maggie-IK. Please tune into the True Heel Heat channel and watch Rob and I, Jesus Christ, FP3s and I, the prediction show for these two shows that Rob and I just talked about. And please subscribe to Fight for Select. And after the show is done, please leave a comment below. It helps us out a lot. Thank you so much. Rob?
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob and on Threads at Fightful Rob. Want to say thank you very much for joining us today, and we will see you guys next week.
Tag me in food pictures, because it reminds me that I have to eat.
There you go. So yeah, remind Maggie she needs to eat. So, guys, want to say thank you again. We will see you next week. Peace out, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.